Welcome back. So, I am so happy to be back recording another podcast today, and I have a wonderful guest, the author of Rubies from Ruins blog, and she just published her first book, The Kept Child. And we'll talk more about both of those things whenever I get her on here. So, let's get excited for Miss Amber to join us. Here we go. Right, welcome, Amber. I am so excited to have you today.
Oh, it's
How are you
great to be here.
doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good and super excited. So I already introduced you a little bit and said we'd be talking about your book and that you're also the author of a blog. And that's actually how we met. We
Yes.
were kind of both in that blog journey and we met in one of those groups, I think, right?
Yeah.
That's funny that we stuck together, but your story is just amazing, and I think we both think of each other similarly. Like you kind of blow me away, and I do kind of the same thing for you. But tell us a little bit about your blog.
So my blog, the name of it is Rubies from Ruins, and I pulled that title or that name from the Bible. There's a scripture and it talks about how God takes ashes, things that are ruined and seem destroyed, and he makes something beautiful out of them. So that's where that comes from. And that's a lot of what I write about is just trying to find hope in hopeless situations. So yeah.
And that's really the Kept Child. That book is based on your life. But tell us a little bit about who you are today before we kind of where you came from.
Okay. So my name is Amber, and I am happily married with four beautiful, handsome, smart boys, and we live in Louisiana on a hot, I call it a farm, but really my husband is not a farmer. It's just a hobby farm. And yeah, like we homeschool and I chase little boys around all day long and I love every minute of it. And I love to write, and basically that's it. We're just busy doing those things and loving life. So
Awesome. Yes. Like whenever I hear your story, and especially whenever I read your book and learned more about, how you grew up and whatnot, like I'm just amazed at the woman you are today and the family you have created for yourself. Like it's so very cool to see that. So your book, The Kept Child, I read this book and I'm not a fast reader. And I mean, I read books, but I don't read them often. But man, I finished this and I started one night and then I woke up the next morning and I finished it. Like it was just a great book. What made you want to write this?
thank you for your compliment.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're not the first person to say that. I really intended for it to be a book like that, just not a super long read, but just catchy and to get people's attention and draw you in, just to share, my life and the many wonderful things God's done. But I'm not a big reader either, so that was kind of the point. Like I understand people who are not big readers, and as I've gotten older, I love like I've learned to love and appreciate reading and the gift that it is. But to answer your question, well, there's a lot to that question. I'll try to keep it short. You know how we do. We love, both of us love to chat, right? But so in 2016, 15, I had just had my third child, and I went through a time where I had postpartum depression, and it was really hard. It was very it was just a really dark season that I walked through, and God really was with me every step of the way. And the new, because so he was born in June. Well, the new year rolled around. It was around the springtime, and my grandmother came over and she gave me this coffee mug. I love coffee and she knows it. And can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Are you there? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So she brought me a coffee mug and I'm going to take a picture for the listeners and put it on my blog so y'all can actually see it. That would be cool. But
awesome,
it has a cloud on it and it says, if you can dream it, you can do it. And during that dark season, I was just looking for that bit of light that I believe in. And I'm like, I have to come out of this, I have to. And God really just spoke to my heart in so many different ways. You know how you can hear a song or a friend will tell you something or whatever. There's just all different little signs all around us if we'll just lean in and listen. And it said, if you can dream it, you can do it. And what's crazy is I didn't tell anyone at the time, but I was really contemplating writing a story about my life. And what's even crazier than that is the exact words on that cup was the very theme that my church here was actually talking about for that month. But it was titled Dream It, Do It, and it had a cloud around it. And
oh wow,
yeah, it was really, and my grandmother had no idea because she lives in a different state. I never told her about it or anything like that. And it was just one of those things like, okay, this is amazing. Like, wow. And so she said, you know what? I want you to like go do something fun today. When she brought the coffee mug, I'm going to watch the kids. I'm like, what? Because I didn't have a lot of help back then. My husband worked a lot and it was just me and my three boys at the time. And so she watched the boys and I called a friend who has a ranch and I love horses so much. In my book, I kind of talk about them. And, and so this is the wildest part is I was on my way to this friend's house and they were going to just let me go out there and just kind of write in my journal and get some thoughts out. And that's kind of where the book was created. The idea of everything. And on my way there, someone from the church, and we lived like 30 miles from our church at the time. So I'm on my way the opposite direction to this friend's house who had the ranch, and the person had that logo or the emblem or whatever on the back of their vehicle. It said, dream it, do it. And this person never comes to this city. So they were in front of me and I looked up, I'm like driving, but it hit me. I look up and they're like in front of me and I just started bawling. I'm like, okay, this must be a sign that I'm dreaming about this book. I'm dreaming about writing my story and, I'm going to do it. So that's, and God he used that and pulled me out of that dark season. And I'm so grateful for that. And it took a while, but those were the little things that built up to that moment and it was beautiful. And so that's kind of where it all started. But the purpose is really to let people know, like, whatever they're in, they're not alone, and to heal, like there's healing.
Yes, and you've definitely been able to heal and come out of that, and that story is just crazy. But I know exactly what you mean whenever he'll speak to us and we just have to see the signs and listen to it, because there are things that can, like you said, it can be a song or it can be something you see on a billboard or whatever, but you've got to like notice it. Cause I've caught myself like, am I the one that was supposed to hear that?
yeah,
it's always kind of those feelings. So that is just, that's awesome. And what a cool little story. So the book is the story on your life. Like how true is it? Did you, cause in there you change the characters' names and you talk about that at the front, that due to like identities, it is about real people in your life, but you wanted to change the names of the characters to keep a little bit of, so how true is it altogether?
I had another person at interview ask me this, and it kind of caught me off guard because I told her 99%, but I got to thinking more about it. I'm like, okay, 98. I think 98% is true, and 1% would be, like you said, changing the character names. And then the other percent is, you know, there's things that as a writer we do, and just to draw in and make the imagery and stuff. You know, I can't promise mm-hmm. you that the shirt my dad wore was blue that day. You know, things like that. But as far as like the story, the actual scenes, like the things that happen,
and events, all the events, those stay pretty true.
Yes, everything is true, and you know, there's a lot of things that I didn't write about. It's, you know, I'm about to be 32 years old, and it's hard to put everything in there. There's things I left out. I mean, but yes, 98% is true. So.
Well, and yes. So the book covers a lot of different topics, like a lot. And one of the biggest themes throughout for me that I took away was addiction, that not only your parents dealt with, but also you. But the one thing that I really enjoyed about your book is most things, whenever it talks about addiction, it's from the person who was addicted's view. And this was the first book or anything I've watched or listened to, podcasts or books. I've read a couple of books on addiction, and I've never heard it from a child's perspective. And I, you know, whenever I was reading it, I was thinking, wow, how impactful would this be for a parent who was struggling with addiction to read that book and maybe realize what they're putting. Was it hard for you to go back and kind of relive some of these moments?
Yes, it was hard. And I think that's what I wrestled with. It took me 6 years to write it. And that's mostly, you know, life, just the busyness of life, and procrastinating and knowing, okay, it was a wrestling with, do I want to, like, open this up again and relive it? And so yes, but I had, like I said before, like leaning into that light and knowing, okay, there's a purpose in this. So it's kind of like when you have a wound, like you have to take care of that wound, do different things that might not feel good, you know, like put alcohol or whatever. I try to avoid alcohol, but like, you know, you're cleaning it and it doesn't feel good, but in the long run, it's worth every bit of the healing process, the things it takes to get there.
But yes,
it was difficult, but yeah.
But, and in the end, you knew that you, and I can assure you this story is going to help so many people. So going through that, to letting other people know that they're not alone, that other people go through this. And, you know, the interview that you did, I actually listened to that. And I thought one of the things that you guys talked about that was really cool, like people that first go into a church the first time look around and want to believe that everybody there, like, has their life completely together and they're perfect. And that's not always true. You know, even as if somebody's been a Christian their entire life and has been in the church that they have to deal with, they still go through things. So it's not a perfect walk of life ever. And we all kind of go through things, you know? And yes, so that's what go ahead.
Well, I heard a man say this. It said, it's like a quote. Church, don't go because you'll mess it up. Like, one, you know, because everybody,
like, people are just people. Everybody is.
If you find one, you're gonna mess it up.
Yeah.
But yeah,
it's true. Nobody has
that. That's so funny.
And that's what's beautiful. Like,
that's what's beautiful
about the body of Christ too.
Yeah.
So
I think we're cutting out a little bit. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can. You started breaking up a little bit, but I was still.
Okay.
Are you good on? Can you hear me?
Okay. Yeah, I can hear you.
So drug abuse. One of the topics that was in there. Your parents actually ended up getting a divorce. And there was also, I'm so glad you reminded me of one event that happened in it. The murder that took place. And I won't say who Hope is, but that is one of the characters. And she is the one that, nobody in your family murdered anybody. So let's put that out there.
But no.
They witnessed one, and
yeah,
you talked about that causing a lot of fear, with understandable. And we kind of fear can hold us all back, and so I kind of wanted to hit on that. Fear really is the number one evil, you know, that is trying to slow us down. So how do you think that may be, without giving too much away about the book, because I don't want to give hints away, but how do you think that may be affected Hope in the long run? Yeah, anything you want to add on that?
Yeah, okay, so the character Hope, yes, she, as a little girl, witnessed her neighbor being murdered, and or the aftermath of it, basically. And her whole life she was felt normal, and then I think it just introduced trauma and fear. And the same thing with Hope's mother, her name
and,
I think, you know, our human nature, it's normal to, when I can't imagine, you know, seeing something so devastating and terrorizing. So yes, it affected them, and to the point of, you know, they built bars. I'm trying to think of the name. Window, like the burglar.
The bars that go over the windows. Yeah, burglar.
There, yes. Yeah. And just little things like, you know, not taking a shower after the sun goes down, and just, there's a lot of things that put fear in them. I mean, I can't imagine if your neighbor was murdered, I would be moving. Like, I would be gone.
Yeah, I'd say.
But at the same time, there's a balance, you know. I think all of us have to make that decision to not let fear paralyze us to the point where we can't move forward in our lives. And it's a daily thing. Like, we were talking, me and you, yesterday about my well house. Like, it's kind of cluttered in there, and like, I needed to go turn the water off, and I wrestled with it. Like, okay, I know there's a snake in there. There has to be, or you know, there's a big bear or something that's going to get me. And, yeah. But I chose to go do it anyway. And it sounds so small, but when we choose to go do the thing that we're afraid of, it does help you to overcome little by little. And so I'm a big advocate for that. And I have not arrived. Every day is a choice, you know, to keep moving forward and telling fear no. And I think, you know, Hope and Elizabeth in the story, I think that they didn't truly like grow in that. And I hope that they will. And I know that God has healing for them too. So that's my prayer.
Yes, ma'am. And that, like, I agree with everything. I don't want to get too much into some of the fears that I've came over, but like you said, so small. And I was even watching a TikTok the other day, and it's this girl that she used to not want to take a shower at all, or she didn't want to go outside. Like, she just had all these issues, and it's like she said, do pick three things that you can do daily to put that, like, get those three things going. And then once those three things now become like not a decision you have to make, add something new onto that. Because even if it's little things, like in her instance, it was like brush your hair every morning, you know, or brush your teeth. And I mean, that's a completely kind of different scenario, but it
seems so little
and you overcome that, that's helping you overcome the next bigger thing, you know?
Yeah, there's power. It kind of reminds me of like a battle and then a war. Like, okay, we're going to focus on the battle and then we'll get to the war later. And they're not really the same thing. Like, battles are smaller, but like when the whole world breaks out in a war, it's, you know, like we'll get to that, but let's focus on this battle.
And when we all, like me as a coach, like,
we have practices and we have the games.
We have to do the little things at the practice and then we play the game at the game, you know? Fear is a huge thing and we have got to overcome that. The other big topic, which I'm going to let you talk about the timing of the book, if you want to, how the topic of abortion was in your book. And was it published the day
that? Oh, yes. 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 So a character in my book had an abortion, and it's so near and dear to my heart, the topic, because, you know, God created us in his image, and it says in the Bible that before we were ever made, that he had us in mind and he strategically knitted us. And the word knit is, it means to like sew, and he put us together in our mother's womb. And so it's just beautiful that God is so strategic about how he created life. And so that's, you know, something that I definitely am passionate about, is just life. And I would never like condemn or judge any woman that's had an abortion, and I believe that there's forgiveness and hope, and there really is hope. There's a future. I think some things that we might see or hear about abortion is that it's just this quick and easy procedure, and once it's done, it's over, and you move on with your life. And I've witnessed in my own life just seeing the rippling effects, the regret and the shame that it brings. And that's just my, you know, what I've seen. And I've never really heard many stories where women were like proud or, you know, excited of what they've done. And the truth isn't always shared because there is so much like regret and involved. But I tried to write that in the story. But I really, you know, I thought long and hard about adding that in my story, because we're in such a crazy time right now in history. Like, who would have thought Roe v. Wade would be overturned? And that doesn't mean abortion is like non-existent. It's just bringing it back to the states where they decide, basically. Like, it's still a thing. But anyway, with the timing, this is another one of those things where like God is always speaking, that we were talking about, and he's always showing us something if we'll pay attention. And I'm kind of like, I'm not always looking for it. Like you said, like, it, I really wasn't just sitting around looking. Like, this was one of those cool surprises. But like, the day that I published my book was the day that it had leaked on the internet, like that they were possibly thinking about overturning it. And so when I heard that, I was like, wow. And then my family, like when they read my book, the day they read it, it actually, which was like, I think about a month apart, like from me publishing to that person reading it, that was the day it was overturned. And I'm like, wow, like that was my sign that, you know what, this was meant to be, and it's the perfect timing right now for what's happening. But yes, abortion is definitely in the book and a big part of the book. So
Yes, it is.
And I mean, we've all gone through things and done things. And in the book, it's not totally saying that it's a terrible thing and all this. God doesn't, you know, he forgives. And that's the big part about this book, too, is forgiveness. And do you feel like your life, because for me, I know I've experienced certain things and
I am incapable
of forgiving someone, then that sticks with me, you know. And if I'm unable of forgiving myself for certain decisions I've made, that sticks with me. Is forgiveness for people in your life or even you, was that something big that you had to do?
It was everything for me. Everything. And it basically determined like who I am. If I don't have forgiveness, I'm nobody. Because the truth is bitterness, like when we hold or withhold forgiveness from someone, bitterness will eat us alive and it's miserable. Nobody wants to experience that feeling. It will make you sick, like physically sick. And yes, forgiveness is everything to me. And it's not, you know, when you're truly wounded, you're truly hurt, you've been, you know, betrayed or abandoned or lied to, it hurts. And I'm not like disregarding that. It's a hard thing to do, but it's a brave thing to do, is forgiving someone. And I always go back to the Bible, but like it talks about, you know, the merciful will receive mercy. Like if you give mercy, you're going to get some mercy. And I know like I need a lot of mercy and grace because I am 100% human and I mess up all the time. And I'm just really thankful that I receive mercy. And I can't, and I know like how hard I try to be. I know I'm not perfect, but I try so hard to do the right things. And I beat myself up like on the inside when I fail. So mm-hmm. What I try to do is give a person that may have hurt me, I try to always give them the benefit of the doubt. And that has helped me a lot too with forgiveness, is being like, okay, like what were they going through, or how were they raised, or what were they thinking, you know, in this situation, how do they feel? And just try to put myself in their shoes, and it does help. So definitely a tool if you ever, you know, and you will mm-hmm. be, you know, become offended. But if you're ever offended, it's always like, okay, let me give this person the benefit of the doubt. Let me put myself in their shoes. And it has yeah. helped me on my journey for sure. So.
Yeah. Okay. So is there anything else, like, anything else you want to add about the book or something, that we should have talked about that we didn't? Also, I did want to add too about your YouTube channel, the whole Homestead Happy Mama.
I'll link the book
and I'll link that and your Rubies from Ruins. Like, I'll have all that in the link in the podcast, but your video of
so I have two different blogs, or one is Rubies from Ruins, and that's, you know, more of my like inspirational, encouraging words that we've been talking about. But Homestead Happy Mama is a different, I guess you would say, vibe or feel or whatever. And it's more of like how we do everyday life. And in the beginning of Rubies from Ruins, I tried to mix those, and like it just didn't go it just didn't go together. This is more of like hands-on, like on our homestead type thing. But the video you're talking about is on my Homestead Happy Mama YouTube channel, and it is a video of my son, my baby. He's 4 now, but he's still my baby. Mm-hmm. And we had just gotten our baby goat, our first baby goat, and she was like just given him love, like, all over his face, and it was so cute. And it went viral. It was my first video to go viral. I think it has, like, somewhere a little bit over 500,000 views. And a news channel, like, reached out to me and asked if they could broadcast it on their show. And I was like, yeah, that's awesome. It's super cool. So my little boy, Judson, is the one in the video. But he said, Mom, am I going to be hummus? And I was like, hummus? What are you talking? I was like, famous? He said, yeah, hummus. So, I said, I guess so. I guess you're hummus now. So we love hummus. We love to eat, like, chips and hummus. So.
Yeah, that's funny. And that is so cute. And it is the cutest little video ever. Like, I just love it. So, well, I appreciate having you on here. I've been, like, scared to ruin anything about the book.
No, it was great. It was great.
I don't want to give anything away, but I, like I said, I will totally link the book on Amazon, because I'm telling you, I feel like this book is good for anybody. Like, if you're a grandma, you're a kid, you're an aunt, you're an uncle, your brother, your sister, your wife, your husband, like, anything, because it, you incorporate your entire family in here. And your grandmother, we didn't talk anything about her. She's awesome in the book. And, yeah, they'll just have to get the book and read it.
Aw, yeah. And that journal, that's something that we didn't hit on, was the journal. I know you had asked me about that.
Well, and I had looked for it. I looked for it because I was going to read a little bit from it. But, man, I couldn't find it. But, no. So what she's talking about, the, I think it was your aunt, and you suddenly went to pick it up, and it was your first journal entry. And I had asked Amber, I was like, was, do you still have that journal? Was that the exact entry? And she was like,
that's not exact,
but
well, just with that
first journal entry, I could totally feel the emotion she was going through. And that is, you know, testament for her writing. Like, you can really feel,
you were 14 when you
were writing that entry, and it was just, it was very amazing and touching. So when you do get that journal out, I want to compare and see how close you were.
So we were talking about fear, and, like, I'm terrified of going in that attic, but you know what, I might.
Now you got to do it. Yes.
Well, the thing is, I'm, like, you know, very short. I'm 5'2", and or barely. I think I'm, like, 5'1½" or something. And so there's something about pulling that ladder down. It, you know how it folds? And, like,
if
I almost, at my old house, almost had it hit me in the head, and it was extremely scary. Like, because it's, you know, you're lifting it up high, and then you're trying to come down with it. And, but, yes, I will either – get my husband to pull that ladder down and then climb up there and go get it. But yes, we're going to conquer fear one step at a time.
Awesome. Yeah. Yes. Cool deal. Well, I so much appreciate it. And will there be other books?
Yes. Yes. There will be other books. The second book will be Ruby. I'm Ruby in the book, by the way, but will be her all grown up, and her dreams coming true, and what that's like, just helping other kids that have been in her shoes. So that will be the second.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And we'll talk about all that, because I was about to, like, ask you about your goals, but we're not going to get into that today because we'll talk forever.
So, yeah, right.
After the next book. But I appreciate you so very much. I will get this posted real soon with those links.
That's it. Thank you so much for having me, and I appreciate you so much. And kind of like I told the last interview, like, my big theme is hope, and whatever you're going through, if there's someone listening and you feel hopeless, and your life is, you know, you might be facing loneliness or just a really hard time. Just remember that it won't always be this way, that the sun is going to shine tomorrow, and to just get back up and start over and have a new day and just hold on to hope because the sun will shine tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Yes.
Well, thank you, ma'am. And we will.
Okay. Thank you, Carrie.
All right. You have a good day.
All right. You too. Bye.
Bye-bye.